This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. The day after Thanksgiving is the first official shopping day of the holiday season. Today on our roundtable, we'll talk shopping, spending, and how to give children what they need, not just what they want. Joining me are Jesse Brown. He's a Chicago-based financial advisor, the author of 101 Real Money Questions. He joins us from member station WBEZ in Chicago. We've also got Sabrina Thomas, coordinator of child development and child relations at the Department of Human Sciences at North Carolina Central University. She's writing a book on dolls and racial identity. Sabrina joins us from member station WUNC in Durham. And with me at NPR West in Culver City, California, is Shirley Smith. She's a parent of five and the host of the syndicated cable television program, Talk About Parenting. Welcome, everyone. And let me jump right into this. Toys and games on the shelves during the holiday season often do not represent African-Americans or do not represent African-Americans well. We certainly are familiar with Grand Theft Auto, which is one of the popular video games, a lot of thuggery and a lot of black characters. Let me go to you, Sabrina. You're working on child development and dolls. Give us a sense of whether you can really screen a lot of the holiday gifts to see whether they're appropriate culturally for your kids.
I believe when you're giving gifts to children particularly, you have these general considerations that you make in terms of having some type of awareness about the child's likes and dislikes. But at the same time, you have to, particularly when we're talking about African-American children, consider the cultural relativity of these gifts. You do not want to give a child a gift in which the fantasy world that they're to play with that gift actually marginalizes them. And so I think that when individuals actually give gifts to children, you have to be culturally sensitive.
Shirley, let me ask you, you have five children. What do you think about when you think about the holiday shopping and giving them things that are appropriate for them? And what ages are your children, by the way?
Actually, I guess we'd have to say most of them aren't children. Mm-hmm. They're adults. But I have a 14-year-old still at home, a foster child I've had since she was an infant. And I can remember back to my own children when they were children.
Well, 14 is very much still in that video game age of you know. Do you give your son video games?
No. I think parents and their giving have to take a really strong stand at, it's not just what's on the market. If you know your child really well individually, it's a benefit to everyone and for the next 364 days to be able to pick the kind of creative things that really sort of express that child's personality. And so it does not have to be in the toy aisle of selecting games and other trinkets that someone else has created. It is important for parents, and I particularly think for African American parents, to be able to look at their household, their family tradition, and our whole heritage and build from there. And often that building starts with books. Books are an important gift for the holiday.
What were some of your favorite gifts, book gifts, that you gave to your children or are even giving still?
Well, I have to say, we really don't get into a big Christmas giving. We try to make all year long a giving opportunity. I try to raise children who knew they were supposed to be the givers. Children often think, everything is me. Me, what am I getting? Who's giving me this? Here's my list. What do you mean you didn't get what was on my list? And this list stops a person from being able to tap into the creativity they see in this child, because the child is only going by what the other kids got. So I'm very much for raising kids to be individuals.
Well, Jesse, let me bring you in here. You're a financial advisor and wealth manager. And according to the research that we have, a lot of families spend $1,500 or more on holiday gifts and go deeper into debt. And a lot of kids are all about me, 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 me. But that's because that's what they see in advertisements that tells them, hey, that's the way you should act. What, from a financial standpoint, should parents think about, or anyone who's giving holiday gifts think about, when you look at your finances?
Well, the day after Thanksgiving is by far the number one shopping day in America. So as people go about shopping today, it is extremely important that they comparison shop, because retailers this year more than ever before are going to be discounting and selling earlier in the season. Now, in terms of gifts, one of the gifts that I think is probably a pretty good gift to give is a piggy bank. Now, why you might say, well, why a piggy bank? Well, what I'm trying to emphasize here is the importance of saving and investing. One of the things that our parents can teach our children earlier in life is the importance of saving and investing and the wise use of money. If you're looking at a board game, something like Monopoly or a game like that, where people can understand the value of things and somehow begin to appreciate the whole concept of saving and investing.
I gave a gift to my goddaughter of one of these tax-free savings plans that you can create for children. And
yes.
Tell us a little bit more about that, because the one that I got was specific to a certain state. Are there any restrictions on these plans?
Well, you're talking about the new IRS 529 plans. These are called college savings plans, and you can get them from any insurance agent, a broker, or bank. It's extremely important because this allows the family to save a considerable amount of money for their child's education and have it grow tax-free until you actually take the money out. It's an excellent opportunity to begin to save and invest, and also a good opportunity to defer taxes as well. I think one of the things that we look at during the Thanksgiving to Christmas season is our spending habits. And then the big wake up is New Year's Day, and you're trying to figure out, well, okay, I've eaten all this food, but the whole point is, I think that it's extremely important that we set the resolution early that we're going to save and invest for the year to come.
Let me go back to you, Sabrina, and back to this issue of culturally appropriate toys. We heard from Shirley that, first of all, it's not even necessarily important to do a lot of holiday gift giving. Some people see the holidays as a big gift giving season. Other people see it as a small point in a year's worth of giving. But if you are one of these people who really splurges during the holiday season for your child or for children in your life, what should you be looking for in the gifts that you give to them?
First of all, I'd like to say I think toys that are educational, nurture life skills and creativity are good for all children. But unfortunately, with African-American children, parents oftentimes have to be particularly sensitive to ways in which they could supplement their children's education regarding their own unique history as a group. You have these listings of the top 25 toys of the Christmas season. I think parents should not rely on those particular lists. They should rely on what it is their individual children or their individual child needs. The problem I find with contemporary toys is not so much related to their function, because I think toys that have particular functions in terms of nurturing the life skills and creativity and have educational value, they are indeed good for all children. But it's their race packaging that I find problematic. Race packaging is more so the way in which race is being positioned in children's play spaces. Play scenes, when we think about the marketing of toys, when we think about the actual packaging in which they're wrapped in to capture your attention on the toy shelves, we often find that this notion of whiteness, if you will, is placed at the center of happiness. I think particularly about Disney's princess series, the princess dolls they have out that have been very profitable. But for little girls of color, that is not a fantasy world in which they appear to be welcome, because the princess dolls are all the primary ones, at least, the Snow White, the Cinderella, the Sleeping Beauty, and Belle are white characters. And I think when you think about the world of imagination, the world of imagination is supposed to be a world in which children have the greatest sense of agency. And it does not make sense, at least to me, that a parent would aid in the construction of a world for their child in which the children themselves are marginalized.
Well, there was, the study that I know that some of your work has dealt with, seminal study looking at black children in the 50s who preferred white dolls.
Right.
Is that still the case, or are black children now more embracing of, not just black toys, but an overall identity of acceptance?
Black children are more accepting of black dolls when you go into the toy store. But I think the problem is, in the absence of a black doll, so many parents and children are so readily open to accepting the white doll. And I think that's problematic. We should take greater energy in, one, demanding that representations of ourselves are available to us. And we should not have to put forth these great efforts just to locate a doll that looks like our children or any other toy that has a positive representation of our children's racial groups.
Shirley, let me go to you. You've got a situation where you have raised or are raising five kids of your own and one foster child. Did you have to go and search far and wide for toys that represented them?
Let me go back prior to my children. I can remember when I was a little girl, and my mother worked at a very fancy department store, and every Christmas bought us a very beautiful white doll. Now, I'm an older person. This was back in the 40s. Black dolls were not out there. And I can remember every Christmas when we'd go to my grandparents' house, my grandfather would say, "Why are you buying those children white dolls? Dolls represent the babies they would have." My mother saw no issue here, so I believe that it is incumbent for parents to have the background, historical and educational, to be able to understand what it is a doll or a toy represents in terms of the opportunity for their child to take this toy and deal with the reality of which they live. So when it came to my kids, I just from my own experience, but by the time I had kids, there were, in fact, black dolls out on the market. And as I said, we usually did, and on my program, we really emphasize for parents to do the individual kind of something, to make toys. So if you go buy a pattern, you can make that doll in any color that you want. So I'm kind of like not the big consumer advocate. I'm the person who says, and particularly if you're black, you really need to take hold to what this society is about. And for 365 days in the year, you need to be interpreting America for your kids.
Well, you know, I have a friend in New York who has a daughter who's now 9 years old. But when her daughter was very small, 4 or 5, she made a doll and used her own locks as the doll's hair. I mean, it cannot get any more personal than that. It was a very beautiful mm-hmm. doll. There is a lot of symbolism. I think that sometimes it can be overstated. But, Jesse, yeah.
I have a thought here. You know, this is a very happy time of the year, and I think that we should try and focus on positive things during this time of the year. It's been a kind of a rough year in the sense of a lot of tragedy. If you think about New Orleans, the floods and the levee breaks there, and of course the war in Iraq. Our children today, I think, require some love and some sense of togetherness during this period of time. So I would frankly recommend that we, you know, take part in the free stuff that's available to us during the holiday season. The parades, the holiday atmosphere, these are things that you can do during the holiday season that don't really cost a lot. I think it's extremely important that we realize that it's not all about money. It's not all about toys. It's about the love of one another. And I think that this kind of falls into this whole question of saving and investing. There's so many ways that we can actually save money by comparison shopping and really make the whole holiday experience a rewarding one.
And what advice do you have for parents out there who are tempted to overspend? What kind of warning can you give about what the financial, the holiday season can do to your finances?
Well, it's all about the budget. If you could just shop with a list and stick to it, don't impulse buy. It's very hard to do during this time of the year. And in addition to that, should you overspend, should you impulse buy, and you find yourself in a kind of a budget deficit situation, Try to understand that when you use your credit cards, try to pay off your credit card balances immediately and try to find credit cards that have low fees and low charges. Avoid the ATM fee when you have to take money out of the machine. Either use the ATM of the bank where you have your money, or try to carry enough cash with you to kind of make it all happen. One of the interesting things that's happened during this year is that the bankruptcy laws have changed in the United States, and it's a lot more difficult to declare bankruptcy than ever before. And you're going to need a lot of records, and it's going to be really tough. The one thing to remember, especially during the shopping season, is the day after. That's the day after Christmas. I know we're talking about the day after Thanksgiving right now, but the day after Christmas, when those bills start coming in, the very next thing to come in is the IRS forms, and you're going to have to start preparing for your taxes. So I think that an ounce of caution here should be considered, and if nothing else, shop with a list and stick to it.
All right. So the advice is make your list, check it twice, and don't go bankrupt. Jesse Brown is a Chicago-based financial advisor and wealth manager and author of 101 Real Money Questions, the African-American Financial Question and Answer Book. We've also had Sabrina Thomas of North Carolina Central University. She's writing a book on dolls and racial identity. And Shirley Smith, a parent and host of the cable TV show Talk About Parenting. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for inviting us.